Begin the current daf, Mesechtes Tmur daf hey. Begin 5 lines up in the bottom of the Yamad, daf, daf dalam the base, where the Gemara begins a discussion, which will take up this daf and go on to the next daf, regarding a halacha that will relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. So Amar Abaye says the following statement. He says, Kol milsadam rachmano loisavid, anything which the Torah says not to do, meaning a loisa say is prohibited to do, im avid mahani, if someone does it, it's effective. What he has done is considered like it was done, and the obvious proof is from the fact that he gets lashes for it. As Abaye says, if you think to say what he's doing is not effective, we don't consider it as if it's done, then am I lucky? Why is he getting lashes? Obviously, what he did was done, and therefore he's getting lashes for that. So therefore, there's two concepts over here. One is that e avid mahani, and the concept is that one is going to get lashes for that. Now, but if it wasn't, then he wouldn't get lashes. Rav Ami says, no, loy mahani midi. No, doesn't help at all. It's not effective, as the Gemara is going to go through this discussion. The haidalaki. So then, why do you get lashes? Mishum da'ofa amemer derachmanahu. Because he has violated a precept that the Torah said. But what you did is not even effective. It's not like it was done. So why getting lashes? Because the Torah says not to do it, and you did it. So though the consequence is not following through, but the fact that you attempted, that you did that action, is why you're going to get lashes. So he holds two things. The opposite of Abaye. If you do in violation of what the Torah says is not effective, yet still a person will get lashes even though what he has done has not been effective. So that's what the Gemara continues on top of Haman Alv and goes through different proofs either way for Abaye or Rava regarding this machlekes. So basically the Gemara asks on Rava from the following brisa, which recorded in the previous daf. The brisa says, Oinus Shagirish, a man who violates a woman, the halacha is that he has to stay married to her. Now, if in transgressing that he divorces her, so the Braisa says as follows: Im Yisrael who if he's a non-kain, so machzer vein aleika, he has to take her back because he's obligated to stay married to her forever, and he doesn't get lashes. Now says the Gemara, v'i amrit, if you're going to say kiven de'aver amemad rachman alaki, that once someone violates a precept in the Torah, even if it's not effective, like Rava says, did you get lashes? So hanami lilki, so here too, this person should get lashes. In other words, according to Abaye, that he said that where what you have done is effective, then you get lashes. So therefore over here, we understand why you say you don't get lashes, because what he did, which was to divorce her and stay not married to her, was not effective, because he has an obligation to remarry her anyway. So therefore he's not going to get lashes. But according to Rava that says that, yeah, no, even when it's not effective, that's not why you get lashes. You get lashes because you violated what the Torah says you shouldn't do. So here also, even though it's court, it's not effective because you didn't have to remarry her anyway, he should get lashes because he violated what the Torah says not to send her away, and he did send her away. So to give to the Rava, that's a refutation of Rava, where according to him, you should get lashes. Here we see from the Braisa said you don't get lashes. So Amalach Rava would tell you, no, there's Shani Hasam. There it's different because the Amakra. The Pasuk says in Devarim, it says he's not allowed to send her away. Kol Yamav, all his days. What's Kol Yamav? Kol Yamav ba'omad v'hachzer. Means if it is a constant prohibition not to send her away, that means all the days of his life, he has a constant and consistent obligation to take her back. Which sounds like all the days of his life he can't send her away. Which is because if he divorces her, he has to take her back. Which that's what we're saying, that all his days he has this obligation of taking her back. Therefore, he never really violated what the Torah said. Torah says your violation is if you always don't take her back. He did take her back. But you're right, in general, even if what the person did was not effective, he would get lashes because he violated what the Torah says. Now, but then the Gemara says, Ulabaya. Then the question is, but according to Abaye, that he says that only when what you did is effective do you get lashes, but if what you did was not effective, you don't get lashes. So according to him, now we have the question, what Rava had answered, which seemingly is a good point, this that the Torah says, Kol Yamav, which Rav had says is coming to say that, yeah, because there's a constant obligation to be married to this woman forever, and therefore Rav said that's why you don't get lashes, because it's a kumasei, it's the positive commandment is ameliorating the negative prohibition. But the difficulty is, what do you mean? According to Abaye, even if it didn't say kol yamav, we would know that you don't get lashes, because since what he's trying to do is not effective, because he has to take her back anyway, so why does the Torah have to tell us, according to Abaye, kol yamav? Says the Gemara, ilav da'am rachman the kol yamav, the Torah didn't say all his days, Havamina, I would have said, Isuruhu da'ovidle. Yes, the person did a prohibition by divorcing her. But, okay, you did a prohibition, you accomplished it, it's effective, that's what we would have thought, and then you get lashes, and that's your option. Iboy lahad, if you want, you could take her back. Iboy lahad, if you don't, you don't have to take her back. But you already violated the commandment. Kamash Balan, therefore we have to tell you, no, Kol Yomav, the Torah is coming to teach you, even according to Abaya, that there's an obligation for him to take her back forever, which we would not have known had it not said, Kol Yomav. So the Gemara continues and says that actually this previous Braisa, which we had used to ask on Rava, now the Gemara says, Lishna Achrina, a different version. Which again, as we pointed out, that there's these two concepts in this Machlokes Abaya and Rava, here we're going in the second concept regarding if Ovid Mahani, not like the first version that it was regarding that if a person is going to get lashes when what you're doing is not effective. So the Gemara asks Meisvei, same Braisa, says, Oyna Shagirish, this man who raped this woman that has to stay married to her forever and he divorced her. So it says, Im Yisraelu, if it's not a kain, so Machzer Ein Eloika. So he has to take her back. That's the obligation. And therefore it doesn't get lashes. But if he's a kain who cannot marry a divorcee, even his own divorcee, look, so he gets lashed, he can't take her back. But one thing says, the Gemara's Ketani we learned, Im Yisrael hu machzer. If he's Yisrael, he has to take her back. That is, Tiyufta da Abayim, that refutes Abaya, because as we said, Abaya says that if someone violates what the Torah says, it is effective. Yet here we see that the Torah says, Lo yuchel l'shalcha, he can't send her away, and what he did is not effective, because we see that he has to take her back. That's difficult on Abaya, who says, no, if you violate what the Torah says, okay, you're not allowed to, but you're effective what you're doing. Because it contrasts to Rava that he said that when you're violating what the Torah says, it's not effective. So we understand this halacha, where this is what the halacha is actually telling us. No, it's not effective. You have to take her back. It's not effective. So that says the Gemara. What Abaya would tell you is that no. Shani Hasim. Over there in this halacha, it's different. In other words, you're right. In general, if a person violates what the Torah says, don't do it. But if you do it, it's effective what you're doing. But here by this ma'anis that divorces this woman that he was ma'anis, the reason why he takes her back is because drachmana amma kol yamav, because the Torah comes specifically, explicitly to preclude from this and says, no, he has to be with her all the days of his life, which is kol yamav ba'amad v'hechzer. You're right, when you divorce her, it's effective, but the Torah says, you got to go ahead and take her right back. That's why it's not effective. Now, but then v'rava, in other words, that he says, every negative prohibition in the Torah is not effective, so according to him, which is the inverse of like we said in the first version, according to him, for what halachic purposes does the Torah have to tell you kol yamav? If it's coming to tell you that, like we said for Abaya, oh, because you have to go ahead and take her back, obviously, because Rava holds everywhere the Torah says not to do, it's not effective. And of course, your divorce was not effective and you would have to take her back. So that says the Gemara, Rava would amalach, he would tell you, no. Ilakas rachman l'kol yamav, the Torah didn't tell you that he has to be with her all the days of his life. So hava minas, I would have said that lilki, he would get lashes, because first of all, he violated what the Torah says. Then, vilahadr, then he has to go ahead and take her back after he got lashes. And, in other words, that the reason why we would have assumed, which the Bryce says he doesn't get lashes, but we would have assumed that he would get lashes, why? Because the havalei, because this einus would be a lav greide, just a general negative prohibition, because the chsiv l'yuchel shalcha, says that he can't send her away. So there's only a negative prohibition, and for a regular negative prohibition, you get lashes for. Ahach, ikas of kral kol yamav, says Rabbi, now you want to know why it says kol yamav? You're right, not because of effectiveness. We know it's not effective. But only kol yamav, like Abaya says, to say that it's not effective. Rather, it's to tell you that all the days he has an obligation, a positive commandment of taking her back, where it's not just a negative prohibition of not sending her away. There's also what's called a kumase, a positive commandment of taking her back, to make this halacha of this ma'anis, of this rapist, that he has to stay married to this woman, not just a negative prohibition, but that it can be ameliorated and fixed with the positive commandment to tell you day in loikin love that you don't get lashes. Because without that, we would have thought that he gets lashes. Even though that he got lashes by sending away, he has to take her back. You would have thought it's lashes. That's what it's coming to say. It's a lava nitik lase. And as Rashi points out, it's like this version that the whole conclusion of the sugi is like, as the Vilna Gaon explains the Agoyas Agra, because what was bothering Rashi was that the previous sugya from the previous daf said that the reason why you don't get lashes in this halacha of the Yisrael is because it's a lavanitik lase. Yet in the first version they were saying it for a different understanding because it's a kumase, and therefore what we're saying is that this version is actually saying the same idea, which is the lavanitik lase. That's what's coming to tell you with Kol Yamav. But the Gemara continues asking now in the same achleik as Abaya and Rava. Take the case of somebody who takes truma from bad, inferior produce for something that's high quality, untaif produce, and he's taking truma from the bad stuff. The Torah tells you in Bamidbar that truma is supposed to be mikol chelbay, from all the fats, which is chelbayin. You're supposed to take truma from your high quality produce to give to the kohen on your high quality produce. But giru and lai, But from the lower, from the inferior, you're not supposed to take from your inferior produce to give truma to the kohen on your high-quality produce. That's not appropriate. Now, that's something that the Torah is telling you not to do. Again, not because it's an explicit negative prohibition, but it's what's called a lava b'machal say. You can infer from what the Torah is telling you positively what you should do, inferring what you should not do. So it's a negative prohibition not to do this. Yerutzanan, the Mishnah teacher, Mesechtas Trumah, is that this halacha, in terma min ha'ra l'yafa, now I'll take truma from the inferior produce to give to the kohen for when you're taking truma on high quality produce that you have. But says the Mishnah, v'im tarm trumasi truma, if you did that, after the fact, it's a halachic truma, and it was given to the kohen. But one thing you see, says the Gemara, is ammahani. You see that even the Torah says not to do, it's effective. That's tzupta de Rava. That refutes Rava, who he says, when you violate what Torah says, it's not effective. That amlacha Rava, Rava would tell you, no, shani hasa. There it's different. Krebi law. Damer b'law, he said, minayin l'tarim min ha'ra l'yafa ch'truma ch'truma. He brings this exeris hakasim to say this. You're right, usually it wouldn't be effective. But he says, how do you know that if someone takes truma from the bad on the good, that it's an effective truma? Because the pasuk says later on, says, he shouldn't carry on himself a sin. When you're taking truma from the choicest, which is saying that it should be from the choicest, not from the inferior. But the inference is, imena kaddish. If it wouldn't be effective of a sanctification of truma when you're doing from the bad on the good, then what would it mean carrying a sin? What do you mean? What do you mean carrying a sin? What, you didn't do anything. From the fact that it's saying, don't have a sin when you're doing it, obviously, mikan l'termin arali yafet, shetruma is a truma, that after the fact, it would be a valid truma. And that's the Gzeres HaKasim tells in this case, it would be mahani. But then the Gemara says, ulabaya, but according to Abaya, who says that everywhere the Torah says not to do something, it is effective. So here in the case of when he's taking truma from the bad onto the good, for what halachic purposes did the Torah have to tell you, Rabbi Lois Josh, at least sisul of ched, that sounds like that you need to say that it's going to be effective, he always holds effective. Says the Gemara, no, ilav dam rachmano, but leisisul of ched, if the Torah didn't have this pasuk of not to carry a sin, havamina, I would have said, hochem rachmano, this is what the Torah is telling you. When it says that you shouldn't take from the inferior on the good, the Torah is telling you, look, oven mitzvah and the mufcher, you should do it the choicest way of doing a commandment, which is from the good. But ve'iloy ovid, but I would have thought to say, but if you don't do, so chayti le'mik, you're not called a sinner, it's just a prohibition, but it's not what would put you in the category of a sinner. That's why you need the pasuk b'leisisul avched, that you're even called a sinner. But not to say again that it's effective, because that Abaye knows in all situations, e oven mahami. Continues the Gemara asking another proof. But staying on the same context of truma, taking from one species on another species. The Torah says earlier, it says, kol chelav yitzer, all the choices of your oil, it goes through what one has to give to the kohanim. Litin chelav lazeh. This pasuk is coming to teach you that it says in that pasuk more than one time the word chelav, the choicest. It says it two times. Once it says it when it talks about tirish, the wine, and once it says, well, like we quoted from when it's talking about the oil. Why? It's coming to tell you that you have to give the choices of this one, meaning when you're separating, the choices of this one has to be from this species on this species, like oil on oil, and chelav lazeh, and it has to be the choice of this one, meaning wine on wine. In other words, you cannot take from one species on another species. For example, you cannot take to give the kohen truma of oil when you're taking on the wine, or wine on oil. So we see that that's not permitted to be done. That's an aveira. But it's not, and yet we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that says, Ein tarmin mimin al she'ein amine. You're not allowed to take truma from one species on another one. And ve'im taram, ein truma se truma. If you do that, no, it's not going to be after the fact, even the truma. So amal lemahani, we see that when you're violating a Torah precept, it's not effective. To Yiftad Abaye, there refutes Abaye who he says that it is effective. Some lech Abaye, Abaye would tell you, no, Shani Hasim, there it's different. As we're finding in each case, why it's not difficult, according to either one, explicitly the Torah is coming to tell you to exclude from what the general category is, because Damakra Reishisam, says Abaye, the Torah says, their first, which is Reishis Lozeh, Reishis Lozeh, with the fact that the Torah repeats the concept and says it another time that it should be the choicest, which is to tell you that you can't take from one species on another species. Each one has to have his first. And it said it not only one time, because said only one time, you'd say, okay, Yavin Mahani. It's the fact that it's what's called Shana Levakasiv is La'akiv to say that no, even if you do it after the fact, it's not going to be effective. And Mechenem Ribbalah, Sotu Ribbalah, he also says that the reason why it's not effective is because Reishis, since it says Reishisam, which again, the Torah is repeating the same concept that each one has its Reishis, to say that even after the fact, it's not going to be effective. Now, but then the question goes back the other way, La Rava, that he says, in general, it's not effective. So according to him, why would I have to repeat Reishisam to say it's not effective? You don't need that. It's always not effective. So Rav would tell you that the reason why the Torah had to write Reishisam is because Ilav Dam Rachmana Reishas, had the Torah not said this word there first. So have a minus, I would have thought, okay, Tirish v'yitzer, I understand we're grabbing wine and oil, the chsiv b'hu chelev chelev, we're there, yet each one of those categories have their separate terminology of chelev written by them. Dain term is elzeh. That I would know, like any loy says in the Torah according to Rava, you can't separate from one on the other. Aval tirish v'dagon, but regarding wine and grain, and the text takes out the next three lines. With the chad chelev ksiv b'hu, with vir, it says one term of chelev regarding the two of them. Because by dagon and tirish, it says v'chol chelev tirish v'dagon. There it doesn't have a separate terminology of chelev for them. So I would say, tar mehaya hai, that you could actually take truma of grain when you're doing it for wine, and from wine on grain, or for one type of grain on another type, because all grain are one, like with wheat on barley. Therefore, that's what the Torah Kazer Rachman Reishas to say that no, each species needs to have its own, even those that don't have a separate word of chelev by them. So the Gemara continues asking, Barich HaRamim, onto another topic. Regarding cherim, which is a type of hektish that's done either to Kahanim or to the Bedek HaBayis, which has its own unique halachas. The Amar Rachman, the Torah says in the Yikra, lo yimker, lo yigoil, not allowed to sell it, not allowed to redeem it, has to go directly to the kain. Now, tznan, yet we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Erechin that says, cherim kehanim, which means when the Yisrael makes this hektish of cherim, which is given to the kehanim, again, an exception, to it's not talking about that, that goes to the Bedek HaBayis. So the Girsa is, ein lahem pidyon. They don't have redemption, like we're saying here from the pasuk that we learn now. The pasuk says you can't redeem it. You can't, like regular hektish, you can redeem it. Cherim kehanim has to go to the kain. Ela noisin l'kain. Rather, it has to be given to the kain. Says the Gemara, amal lemehani. We see it's not effective. If let's say someone goes and he redeems this that he says should be cherim to the kehanim, what he has done is not effective. Like the Mishnah taught, ein lahem pidyon, doesn't have redemption. Do you have to have that refutes a baya who says after the fact it would be effective. Here you see it's not. He would tell you, Shani Hasam. No, there that context is different. Torah says, the holies of the holies, it should be. What's who? That it will be in its tense, in its element, which is it never leaves its sanctity of being a Chayim L'Kahanim to go back to Chulin through redemption. Because the term who, yiyya, all them that mean Bahaviyasi means this is the way it's going to be and this is how it's always going to be. So there's Gzeis HaKasim, that's why in that halach it's different. But yeah, generally, E of it would be Mahani. But then the Gemara continues on the base, but then the Rava, hi who, what does he do with this who? He doesn't need to teach it Bava Yasi because he always holds Iyavid Lemahani. It's Lemuti Bechar. This that it says who by the Parsha of Cherim is actually coming to exclude the laws of the firstborn animal, which is from this Isser of selling. We're saying by Cherim you can't sell it, you can't redeem it. So we're saying that it's only saying who, this is where we say it by Cherim. But a different context that of Bechar, actually you are allowed to sell it. The time, because we learned in the Braisa that says, by the firstborn animal, which the firstborn animal of an animal has to be given to the kain, and if it's unblemished, it's part of the carbon. If it's blemished, the kain uses it for its own purposes, but it's given to the kain. So the pasuk says light tifta, meaning that the owner cannot redeem it and to utilize it for mundane purposes like shearing its wool or working with it. It can never go away from that characteristic of sanctity. Now, however, but v'nimkuhu, but if let's say the bechor develops a blemish. So let's say the kain who's the owner of this blemished bechor, he could sell it, again with the qualification of bechor, but he could sell it. And that's why it says in the pasuk that late tifta, he's not allowed to redeem it, but to infer, but you're allowed to sell it. Now, however, in contrast, b'meiser nemar, by meiser it also says a similar terminology of lo yigal, that you're not allowed to redeem it, which means that you can't, same like pinyon. But there it's more stringent, it's also b'ein nimker. The halacha of meiser behema, those animals cannot be sold. Not alive, not slaughtered, not unblemished, not blemished. As the Gemara says, the way we know this is because it says by Maisa Behema, like we just quoted, lo yigo, not allowed to redeem it. And it says, regarding the context that we're talking about, by Charamim, it says, lo yimachar, lo yigo, not sell it, not redeem it. So just like over there, when it says lo yigo, it includes lo yimachar. So to over here, by Maisa Behema, it says lo yigo, it also includes that you're not allowed to sell it. So therefore, I would have thought to say, since we compare Maisa and Bechor, as the Gemara tells us later on, there's a comparison with the laws of the firstborn animal and Maisa Behema. So I would have thought that Bechor is the same thing like Maisa Behema, that you're not allowed to sell it. That's why it says who by Cheramim to exclude Bechor, that actually there, you are allowed to sell it. That's what Rava needs who for. Not like a bai Bahavi Yasi Hei, because it's always Bahavi Yasi Hei according to Rava, you can't eat of it lemahani. But rather, it's coming to tell you this halacha that Bechor could be sold. So the Gemara continues bringing a proof. Vare Timura, which is where it relates back, and that's why we brought in this discussion to the halacha of our opening mishnah of this perek, this masechta. Vari tzimura, the halacha of trying to swap the sanctity of a carbon to another animal. Dam Rachman, the Torah says, lo yachlufen, but lo yamar oyisle. And I'll switch it, you know, I'll try to change it. Vatana, yet we learned in our Mishnah, it says, lo yishad mershoy lohamer, it's not that like a person permitted to do tmura. El Hashem, hemir, mumer, rather, what we opened up when we said, I'll call mamir, means to say, like, if someone did it, then that sanctity will take effect on that other animal too. But, besevik is abon, but he's going to get 40 lashes. But one thing is, Alma Mahani, we see that, although the Torah says you're not allowed to, we see that, but when you do it, it is effective. Tumur is going to take effect on the chulin animal, so to yifta de Rava, so that refutes Rava. Samalach Rav would tell you, no, heroes or shani hosim, everyone's finding why in that context it's different. Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, Vahayuhu Usmurah, so Yekaydish says, the original carbon itself and its Tumura will be sanctified. So the Torah tells you it's going to be Kaydish. You're right, generally, Avid Le Mahani, but here the Torah is telling you that it will take effect. Now, but then the question is, Ulabaya, so this that it says Yiyakaidish, obviously he's not coming to tell us that it's going to be sanctified, because he holds in general it's always effective anyway, and we would know it would be Kaidish. Rather, it's because Ilav Dam Rachmana, Vahayuhu Smarasa, if the Torah didn't tell us this pasuk that the original carbon and its Tamura should be Kaidish, have a mean that I actually would have said, yeah, of course the Tamura would take effect, because Iyavid Mahani. But I would say, Teitzeizu, that actually, that means to say what a Tumur would mean, that it would be effective when you violate the Isser, that the original carbon would actually lose its original sanctity, Vitikanezu, and that the Tumur, which is what this person is really trying to do in violation, the other animal would take its place, but not that both would be sanctified. Kamash Malam, that's what you need the Pasuk for when it says, Vahayu Ismarasa Yekaydish, actually to say that actually both of them are sanctified, but not that the Tumur is sanctified, that we know because of Iyav and Mahani. So the Gemara continues asking, you have the laws of the firstborn animal. Dam Rachman Torah says, as we quoted before, it says, Lo Tifta. Now let it redeem it. It always retains its sanctity as a Bechir. Now, yet Utnan, we learned in the Mishnah, later on the Chafal from Adav and Perak Elu Kadshim, that says that what's the difference between the laws of Bechir and Meiser, which share certain characteristics, in contrast to all other Kadshim, all other Karbanas. So Halach is that when there's something called Psulei Mekdashim, which the carbon that develops a blemish. So the Halach is it gets redeemed, and then it could be sold and slaughtered, all different types of things. Now the thing is that although it still has an element, a vestige of sanctity, but you're allowed to slaughter it in the marketplace, you're allowed to sell it in the marketplace, you're allowed to weight with weights, to sell it like all other unconsecrated meats are sold. And we're not concerned for the disgrace of kachim, because there's a benefit for kachim. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Bechoris of Laman Alfam Beis, if you permit a person who redeems the Psul Mekdashin from Hektish to sell it in the marketplace, he's going to get more buyers and he's going to be able to get a higher price. He'll pay more to Hektish to get this meat, so Hektish will gain. But in contrast, by Bechor Meister, that benefit of the sale goes to the owners. The benefit of the Bechor goes to the Kohen, who he's the owner of the Bechor. And the benefit of Meister is for the owners, because Meister is eaten by the owners. So because of their gain, in the state of being blemished, where they use it for their own personal purposes, we don't allow the disgrace of Kachem. So they can't sell it in the marketplace and such and so on and so forth. Now the Mishnah says that Yesh Lehen Pidyon, meaning regarding other Kachem, because it's contrasting other Kachem in contrast to Bechor Meiser, other Kachem where they develop a blemish and the person and it's redeemed from Hektish. So that redemption takes effect on the sanctity of the carbon, and therefore it's now considered like chulin meat. And so too, Ula Tamura Sayin. So too, if let's say the Tamura of a carbon, of a regular kachim, develops a blemish, so Pidyon, you could also have redemption on that Tamura. Chutz min ha-bechor, min ha-meiser, except for the firstborn animal, a meiser behema, which if they're blemished, then actually that the redemption does not take effect to remove their sanctity. Now, one thing says the Gemara is, Amalei Mahani. So we see that if someone in violation of the laws of redemption tries to redeem it, it's not effective. It's not taking away its sanctity. That's Yifta Abaye. There are Fitz Abaye who says, Iyavid Mahani. So Amalach, again, Abaye would tell you, no, Shani Hasan, that context is different. Because Amakra, the Pasuk says, Haim, they are, which is the same idea that they are, like, it's like who and Haim, but the Yasin you, that they remain in their element, in their status, which is, yes, the Torah is coming to tell you that in this case, it's not going to remove from its sanctity through redemption. Now, although that Mishnah actually discusses both Meiser and Bechor, the Gemara is not addressing Meiser at this point. It's only addressing that of Bechor. But later on, the Gemara is going to ask again for Meiser, and then it's going to give a separate answer for that of Meiser Behema. But one thing the Gemara says, Baru L'Rava, Hai Heim Lomalei, what does he need Heim? Not to say Bava Yasin Yehei, that it's not effective, because he says every Isser is not effective if one violates. According to him, what Heim is coming to teach is that Heim Craven, is that the Bechor itself, their sacrifice, Bavain Tumurasin Craven, but actually the Tumur of a Bechor, sometimes the tumur of an animal of a carbon is sacrificed. Here, in regards to the Bechor, it's come and say that no, only the Bechor is sacrificed, but the tumur is not going to be sacrificed. So says the Gemara, Ulabaya, Hai Svar Menale, where does he know this logic? Not from Haim, because he needs Haim to say, Mabiyasnihe, that it retains its vestige of sanctity, and even if you try redeeming it, it's Lemahani. So says the Gemara, Abaya knows it from a different pasuk. It says, Imshar Im said that regarding the laws of Bukhar is either an ox or a lamb, Lashemhu, the firstborn goes to Hashem. What you learn from there is, and the Gemara says, Hu Karav, meaning this one that goes to Hashem, the Bukhar itself, that gets sacrificed, then Tamurah Sekreva, but the Tamurah doesn't get sacrificed. But says the Gemara V'Rava, so says the Gemara, you're right, in the Chanami, you're right, that the Mahu Kra, you really know it from this pasuk that says only the Bukhar itself gets sacrificed, and the Tamurah is excluded from that pasuk. So then we're back to the question, say, Elohim Lamali, so then what do I need Haim for? Not to say Baviyasni Hay again, because we always know Yavad Lamahani. Rather, it's Limid al-Bukhar Maisa. It's coming to teach a different halacha regarding the firstborn animal and the Maisa Behema, that's the tenth one of that's separated from the new animals that he has. Shenis Arev Daman Bechala Eilan. If the blood of this carbon, which Bukhar that's unblemished, and Maisa Behema that's unblemished, they're brought as carbonas, if their bloods get mixed in with the bloods of other carbonas that Eilan means, say, that go up on top of the Mizbeach, that the halacha is, although the bloods got mixed in, Shekrevan Legab Mizbeach, that you could still sacrifice it on the Mizbeach, and then that permits the meat of the Bukhari Maiser to be eaten with throwing the blood, even though it's mixed in with all the bloods of all these other Karbanas. And the reason for that is because these Karbanas that go on the Mizbeach, their blood do not nullify one the other. And this is actually where we learn, in general, the halacha, for all those things that go on the Mizbeach, that since it says in the Pasuk, Haim, which again tells us, Babiyas Nihei, it's not coming to tell us, Babiyas Nihei, that the redemption that you're trying to do is not going to be effective, because Rava always says, Yevel Emani. It's teaching a different Haim Babiyas Nihei, which is to say that even if the blood gets mixed in with other blood, it still retains its identity, its vestige of what it is in regards to being the Dam of the Bukhara, and does not become nullified in those other bloods. That's what the Pas is teaching us according to Rava. So where does Abaye know that logic from, that the bloods of the carbon is not going to be nullified in the bloods of the other carbonas? He knows it from a different pasuk, from a different halacha. Mivalokach midam apar midam asar. From the karbanas in Yom Kippur, which the Kohen Gadol does with these two karbanas, that for him and that for the Jewish people, is the blood of the bull and the blood of the he-goat, which he does in the Kaddish HaKadoshim and the Heichal. So the pasuk says that he takes from the blood of the bull and the blood of the he-goat, and he puts it onto the corners of the inner Mizbeach. Now, Abaya holds that, which there's a machlekes as we're about to address, that the blood of the bull and the blood of the he-goat on Yom Kippur were actually mixed together when he would throw it on the corners of the inner Mizbeach. Now, so he says, it's a well-known fact, Bahalidama par merubim mishalsar, the blood of a bull is much more blood than that you're going to get from a he-goat, which is a smaller animal. And even so, the pasuk identifies that the bloods that you're putting on the Mizbeach HaBnimi is the dama par and the dam hasar, the blood of the he-goat, that the zrika is going to be effective, which obviously is telling us that it's not being nullified. From here you learn that those things that go on the Mizbeach don't nullify one each other. Because at the time, like learn the Braisa, which we had said that Abaye is presuming that the bloods are mixed together, because it says in the Pasuk, V'lokach midam apar midam asar, that you take from the blood of the bull and the blood of the he-goat, shiyu muravin, that they should be mixed together, that's the abbreviation. And that's what Abaye is going with. So if you see that they're mixed together and still calling it dam hasar, obviously that ain't oil mevatan zeh. But V'rava, who doesn't learn from there, rather he learns it, like we said, from Haim. The reason why he doesn't learn from there is because actually he held that the bloods of the bull and of the he-goat were actually not mixed together. Rather, Hasam Mazabef and the Atzmai, he held that actually this one was thrown its blood by itself. Umazabef and the Atzmai, this one, its blood was thrown by itself. Because of a Savala Kribyanison, he held the Kribyanison, or the Gemara brings him a Sechdis Yumid of Nazim and Beit, that he held that the blood of the bull and the blood of the he-goat would not mix when they would throw the blood on the corners of the Mizbeach Nimi, rather each one were sprayed separately. So the Gemara continues bringing a proof regarding this machlekes Abaye and Rava. Bari Meiser, you have the laws of Meiser Behema. This is what we said before that we're going to ask separately from Meiser Behema. The Amar Rachmano lo yigol, as we mentioned before, the Torah says you're not a redeemer. Meiser Behema is Meiser Behema. You can't undo it. You can't do like a regular hekdush and redeem it. Now Utznan, we learned the Mishnah later on the Chafal of Maraf that says Yeshlen Pidyan Ulatmurisain, which recorded this just before, says that all of the kachim you can redeem it, and for the tmur you can redeem it. Chutz min the bechari min the Meiser, except for the firstborn animal and the Meiser Behema. But one thing you see says the Gemara Amalei Mahani. So you see that if you try redeeming the Ma'aseh Behema, it's not going to be effective. That's Tziyuf Abaye, the Refitz Abaye, who says Iyavid Mahani. Some lachab Amal Achra Abaye would tell you again. Shani Hasim, there it's different. Why? The Yolof Avara Avar Mibuchar. We have a Gzeres Shava from the term of passing over, which by Bechor it says in Shmoy, it says, Gimel Vavarta Kol Petarechem, and talks about the laws of the firstborn animal. And by Meis Behem, it says also, Mikuchab Zayin, Kol Hashay Yavr Tachas Hashavit, it says the same terminology, it's Avik Zeir Shabbat, just like we said from Bechor, that explicitly the Torah tells you that Iyavid Loi Mahani, here also is going to be Iyavid Loi Mahani, although in general, like Abai says, Iyavid would be Mahani. But continues the Gemara with another proof. Avi Hikdima Truma Lebikur, regarding someone who, when he's separating his tithes from his new produce, his new vegetation that he has, so halacha, there's an order that has to be bikurim, then truma, then maaserishin, maasersheni, and instead he actually separates truma to give it to the kohen before the bikurim, before the first fruits that is to bring up to Yerushalayim. The Amar Rachman that the Torah tells you, you're not allowed to delay the have the bikurim after that of truma. Yet it's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that says hamakdim. If someone did take off truma before bikurim, Ava Bishu Balaisa, so even though he violated a negative prohibition of the Torah, Masha Asa Asa, what he has done is done. That's not like Rava, who says Yavid Loi Mahani. So Amalacha Rava, Rava would tell you, no, Shani Hasim, there it's different. Because the Amakar, the Pasuk says, and the Gir says, Mikol Matnoi Seichem Terimu, which is actually from here where we learn out the source, which comes to say that the Levi, although, which in regards to if he got his Maisa Rishon, let's say before the Chuma of the Kain, it's saying that Hashem is telling the Levim, look, from all your meisters, you have to take off truma, which is telling us not just truma's meister, which he has to take off every time, but if he beat the kain to the truma, he has to take off truma gedayla from his meister. So obviously we see that in the context of doing one matana, let's say meisterishin before truma or truma before bikurim, that it is effective, and that's what Torah is telling you. Therefore, you got to go ahead and now do this. You got to rectify it. But you see, therefore, in this case, the Torah says it's going to be effective. But then says the Gemara, Ulabaya. But according to Abaya, why do you need a special limud for this? That, oh, it's going to be effective, and therefore you got to fix it. We always know that it's effective, because Iyavid Mahani. Says the Gemara, Mibayla, no, he still needs this pasuk. Why? Could Amalei Rav Papa lie Abaya? Because it was like how Rav Papa said to Abaya, where there was a whole discussion, Sechtes Beit Abi Gimel Beis, where the Gemara says over there, that if the Levi took his Maiserishin, when the produce was still in its stalks, and he took it before the kohen took his truma, before the truma gedayla was taken from the bundles. So it comes out that Levi caused the kohen a loss 2 out of every 100, meaning the which is truma usually 1/50th in the maisa that he took, because he's supposed to get from the whole plantation. Now the Levi took his first tithe, so from 10%, the kohen's not getting his 50th. So even so, the halacha is that the Levi is exempt from taking truma gedayla from the maaser rishon that he beat the kohen to that. Why? Because there's a pasuk that says that what does the Torah says? Maisim and a maisim. You have to take a tithe from your tithe. The Torah tells the Levi, look, I know you got a tithe from the Yisrael, but a tenth of that, which is called truma's maisim, you have to give to the kohen. But that tells us only maisim does he have to take from maisim. But he doesn't have to take truma gedayla and truma's maisim from the maisim. So therefore, he doesn't have to give to the kohen. And that Rav Papa said to Abaya, if that's the case, as our Gemara continues, El Miato, then even if the Levi goes before the Kayin, Bikri, a later stage. It's not in stalks anymore. It's after they smoothed out and it's in a pile of grain. Nami Nifter, we should still exempt the Levi and say that he doesn't have to give Truma and only has to give Meiser, which is called Truma's Meiser, Truma's Meiser. So why are you picking only an earlier stage of when it's in the stage of stalks? On that Amalei, on that Abai said to Rav Papa, Alecha Makran, this is what we're saying, what Abai needs the Pasuk for. Now, regarding your question is what the Pasuk is addressing when it says, and the Gir says, Mekom Matnei Seichem Terimu. From all your gifts, you have to take Truma, which Hashem is telling to the Levim, Terimu is Truma Hashem, which is that you have to give even Truma Gedayla from your Meiser. That's the same, Mekom Matnei Seichem Terimu. Now, then the question is, wait a second. Mari East L'Rabbis is a creed. What did you see fit to include the obligation of the Levi giving Truma Gedayla from his Meiser? If he went and he beat the coin before when it was in the smooth pile, Ula Hitzia Seshabon, and to exclude that not to obligate him to give Truma Gedayla if he beat him in the earlier stage of the stalks. That's what says Abaya, Mar Bani Esakri, no, I'll include when it's already in the smooth pile, that then the Levi will have to give Truma Gedayla, which he beat the coin to give him from his Meiser, besides the Truma's Meiser. Because Sheyeshna Mechal Digun, because when it's in the smooth pile, it's already in the category of being called Dagun, which is grain, which at that point it already has the obligation of Truma Gedayla on it. Like the Pasuk says, Reishis Dagancha. Truma is called the first of your grain. So since it had the obligation, and then the Levi went and quickly grabbed it for the Kain, the obligation is already on it, and therefore he would have to give Truma Gedayla. But a mitzvah in there says shabbon. But I will exclude the obligation of the Levi if he beat him when they were still in the stalks. She'in b'chalal digum, which is not yet in the category of grain, and therefore he wouldn't have the obligation to, if he preempted him, to give in that situation. So therefore, that's what according to Abaye, the pasuk is coming to teach. Not like Rava, which is coming to say i'ave mahani. In this case, no, Abaye, it's always i'ave mahani. It's coming to teach this other halacha that we just said. The Gemara continues trying to bring a proof. If a widow marries a kohen gadol, which the Rachman Amar, the Torah says, amano, grusha, a widow, a divorcee, the kohen gadol is lo yikach. He's not allowed to marry such a woman. So that's a prohibited action. Yet it's not, the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Kedushin, they're called Makam Sheish Kedushin. Anywhere where there is halachic engagement, meaning marriage, where meaning the Kedushin is tayfas, it takes effect. But v'yesh aver, but there's sin in that marriage, which the Gemara actually explains over there, it's actually referring to this exact case of amon l'kohen gadol. At certain times, that condition doesn't take effect. Amon l'kohen gadol, the condition takes effect. So in those situations where it's a sin, but if the condition takes effect, havlat hoylech achar apagam, then the child goes on the weakest link, and he gets the most deficient type of categorization, which he's going to therefore in this situation be considered as a chal, because he's a desecrated child. But one thing we see is that even though this marriage is in sin, it's going to be effective. From the fact that we say there is kedushin, because if it wasn't effective, then kedushin wouldn't be typhus. So therefore, that's difficult on the one who says yavid lemahani. So the Gemara Shani Hacha says Rav would tell you that here it's different, because the Amakar the pasuk says lo yichal zarei, says that he shouldn't desecrate his child, which sounds like that what's coming to tell us is that his children are going to be what's called quote halalim, which are just a desecrated child. But the obviousness in that is that, but he doesn't become a mamzer. Why saying chol? Chol is much lighter of a problem than being considered an illegitimate child. Obviously, the pasuk is coming to tell you that in this situation, it will take effect. Even though you're right, in general, it doesn't take effect. But then the question is, Olabaya, who you don't need a pasuk to say it's taking effect, he would say no. If it's coming to say, like you're saying, just to say that the child's going to be a chol and not a mamzer, which that would disprove Abaya, says, no, name a kro lo yachol. Then the Torah should have just said, in the singular, lo yachel, which that would obviously sound like that's to not make a problematic child. Ma lo yichalil. Why is it saying in the plural, don't create chilul and desecrations, which sounds like it's coming to actually tell us a different drasha, says Abaye. It's coming to tell us, echaloi, that not only is it a problem for the child, but it's the echalo. It's also a problem that the woman herself, the amana, she becomes desecrated and she becomes like in the category of a zayin of a harlot, which now she becomes prohibited to partake of her father's truma, if let's say she's the daughter of a kohen. So it's actually because of her that the pasuk was necessary. Says Abaye, not because like what you wanted to say, it's coming to say i'avin mahani. No, for that the pasuk is not necessary, because actually everywhere it's i'avin mahani. Rather, it's coming to say that not only is the child a chalal, but even the woman herself is a chalal. But Gemara continues trying to bring a proof. V'ari hikdish bali mumin l'mizbeach. If someone sanctifies a blemished animal, which cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, but he sanctifies this, I want to bring this as a carbon on the Mizbeach. The Rachman Nam of the Torah says, Kalasha by mum lo yisakrivu, whatever has a blemish cannot be brought as a carbon, which actually the Gemara in the next daf of Vav Mabez actually says, although it says lo yisakrivu, it actually means lo yisakdishu, that you're not allowed to even sanctify. There's a prohibition about sanctifying a blemished animal to be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. Now, Utznan, which is actually a brisa that we learned, that says, Hamakdish bali mum la Mizbeach. If someone does this, he sanctifies a blemished animal to be brought on the altar. So says the Braisa, Ava Pishu Balaisa, even though that's a negative prohibition, Masha Asa Asi, what he has done is done, meaning it gets sanctification, obviously not to be brought as a carbon the Mizbeach, but it gets monetary sanctity. But one thing is, to you to the Rava, that's a refutation of Rava, you see, Iavid Mahani, see, in violation, it's still effective. And then Amacha Rava, Rava would tell you that no, Shani Hasim Damakra. They're different again, because the Pasuk says over there, Ulenedu lo yiratsu. When it's talking about a blemished animal, it says it won't be considered willingness as an acceptance to fulfill your vow. The inference is, ritzuhu delimiratzu. All it is just not going to be considered as a willingness for as a carbon. Hamikdash kadshi, but we see that it will be sanctified, and that's how he says, in this case, the Torah is telling you, Yavid Mahani. But Labai, according to Abaye, where you don't need to teach that Yavid Mahani, so says the Gemara, idolei omer rachmano, ulonei dolei yiratzu, if we didn't have this pasuk, that and for the vow is not considered as willing, so actually, Havamina, I would have said, ka'ivir mitzvah. You're right. That if someone sanctifies a blemished animal for a carbon mizbeach, that he's like someone who violates a commandment, but for kosher. But after the fact, it's valid even to be brought as a carbon on the mizbeach. Like a mashmon, that's what I have to say, that no, it's not going to be valid, it's not going to be merutza as a carbon. But you don't need it for the inference of Yavid Mahani. No, we know Yavid Mahani. But it's coming to say that actually, in practicality, it's not merutza, it's not going to be accepted as a carbon on the mizbeach. Mark continues asking, Varimakdish tamimin lebed gabayis, like the inverse, where we said before, you're not allowed to sanctify a blemished animal for the mizbeach. Here, it's the opposite. If someone sanctifies unblemished animal, not for the mizbeach, although it's a perfect carbon, he's sanctifying just for the temple upkeep. With the Amar Rahman, the Torah says, with the beginning of the pasuk says that when it talks, it delineates all these different types of blemished animals. So as the Gemara continues, Tamar Vav Man Aleph, the pasuk says, Nedava Tasa Eisai. For a donation, you should make this blemished animal. Which the Gemara on the next Davan, Zayim Abay, says, Zekache by the Gabayis. That means to say that a blemished animal you should sanctify as an adava to the base of Mikdash, meaning for the temple upkeep, for the coffers of the base of Mikdash. Because in regards to the altar, it's obvious that it's not kosher, not as a nadu, and not as an adava. So when saying the adava tasais, it means obviously a donation to the temple treasury. Now, Yerutznan, which actually it's a brisa that says, if someone does this violation, Hamakdish Tamim in the Beit HaGabayis, he sanctifies an unblemished animal for the Beit HaGabayis, for the temple upkeep. Says the brisa, Avabishu Beloisa, say, even though it's a negative prohibition, which actually the Gemara later on, the Vizayim HaBeis, says, because we know this from the Pasuk, Midabish HaMamosha Lamer, which actually the word Lamer could be read, Loi Amar, tell them no. So although this is a negative prohibition, because like we said, the inference of this pasuk is, yeah, nadava tasa oisai, which means say this blemished animal, you could use it for the Beit HaGabayis, but the inference is, but you cannot be matfis tamimim for the Beit HaGabayis, meaning it's only when it's blemished you could donate to the mizbeach, to the Beit HaGabayis. But unblemished, you're not allowed to. So although it's a negative prohibition, still says the brisa, but masha asa asai. Okay, you're not supposed to, but if you did, so then this unblemished animal is sanctified for the Beit HaGabayis. So to Yiftah the Rava, that's a refutation of Rava, where you see that Yavin Mahani. Amacha Rava, Rava would tell you that no, because actually, Bimakam Shinis Rabu, Bali Mum Legam Mizbeach, which is related to the previous proof the Gemara was talking about, from the same place that we included, when one sanctifies a blemished animal for the Mizbeach, from that same place, which we said that after the fact it will be sanctified, Nisrab with Tamim al-Beit HaGabayis. That's the same place where we include this inverse case when someone sanctifies an unblemished animal for the Beit HaGabayis, then they're also, after the fact, it's going to be effective. But that's because you have a special Gzeiras HaKasav. And how do we know that from the same place? Because that same pasuk says, Ulanei de'lo yiratza, that for a vow, it's not going to be accepted. Which the Gemara later on tells us that this is actually referring to the Kachim Mizbeach. And it's saying that it's lo yiratza, which sounds like we said, oh, it's just not merutza, but mikdash kodesh, as we said before, but it's going to be sanctified. Now, the pasuk is equating, when you're sanctifying tamimim for Beit HaGabayis, which is the first part of the pasuk, which was the inference, that yeah, nedava tasa isi when it's blemished, but when it's unblemished, then you cannot donate it to the Beit HaGabayis. That's being compared to the second half of the pasuk, which is talking about balimum to the mizbeach, because it's learned from one pasuk, this prohibition, I'm not sanctifying. And therefore they compared also for what we had said, that we have a Gzeiras HaKasav that tells us that after the fact it is going to be effective because it's only Ritzuhu Delimiratza HaMikdash HaKadshi. That same limit the pasuk is putting into the same pasuk also when someone's Makdash Tamim Lebed HaGabayis, although it's prohibited, here the Torah is telling you an exception that I Ovid Mahani, but in general it's not Zevagon Rava, we would generally say Ovid Loi Mahani.